Please be seated.
Brassica KCE. I'll say that again. Brassica KCE. Didn't get any better, did it? The mustard family. In my undergrad years, I studied systematic botany and varied ecological systems, among other things. I spent many hours, days, even weeks, walking roadsides, wild open fields, and wooded areas, both flat and mountainous, looking for plants from the mustard family, or just finding them sometimes without looking for them. They are everywhere. When I found them, I would photograph the plant. I would take a macro lens close-up of the flower, and if there were enough specimens in the area, I would pull one up out of representative plants, dust off the roots, press it in my dryer, and catalog it for the college collection. Now, you may think that I'm strange for doing this, but it's a great way to spend time outdoors, getting to know your environment, and it's certainly no stranger than golf. Most of the mustard relatives have petite little yellow flowers, although a few look closer to white, and they all bear their seeds in pods of some kind. Some mustard pods are long and skinny, like needles on a pine tree. Some are flat, some are round, some are big, some are small. Some of them come in interesting shapes, like shepherd's purse, which is one of my favorites, Flaspi arbens. There are hundreds of kinds of mustard plants in the world, ranging in size from 2 inches to 10 feet tall and bushy. Over 300 genuses and over 3,700 species. Jesus talked about the mustard that was an all too common pesky weed in the Middle East, and actually still is. That mustard grows to be taller than a man with his hand stretched over his head, and small birds can even nest in it. But its seeds are tiny. These mustard trees or bushes grow everywhere along the roadsides and fence rows, so they were handy for Jesus to use as illustrations. He could always just say, right here. And they popped up in the middle of cultivated fields all the time as well, because those tiny seeds were spread in poop, bird poop, to be specific. In case you couldn't tell, Jesus gets a little impatient with his disciples in today's gospel reading. Like most people using substandard logic, they assume that more is better than less. And they apply it to their own understanding, thinking that they're talking about their level of faith, which are really two different things. In all fairness, Jesus has been hitting them with some pretty difficult teaching recently. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, forgive people even when they don't deserve it. Give to others generously without expecting anything in return. Take up your cross and follow him. What's all that about? So the disciples innocently make what seems like a very reasonable request. Lord, increase our faith. We obviously don't have enough to handle all this stuff that you're throwing at us. And that sets Jesus off just a little bit. He's like a math teacher sitting alone in a classroom with an underachieving student who says he doesn't have enough brains to solve the problem on the board. The teacher says, you just have to use the brain you've got. It's perfectly good. Fire it up. Similarly, Jesus says, don't give me that you need more faith garbage. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could do all kinds of ridiculous things, since you seem to think only ridiculous things are flashy enough to prove that God is showing up. And there was a mulberry tree standing next to where they were talking at the time. So Jesus tells them, for example, they could tell that tree to uproot itself, fly through the air, and be planted in the sea. That's about as pointless a demonstration of faith as he could impress upon them in that time and place. Normally, Jesus shows his impatience or irritation with wealthy people or with powerful people like the Pharisees. But on this day, the disciples crossed the line. we just can't make sense of this stuff you're teaching us. We don't have enough faith. Give us some more. Essentially, Jesus tells them that more of the same is not going to help them. Their problem is not that they don't have enough faith. The problem is that they just aren't using what they do have. And that tiny bit will be enough once they learn how to engage it. They've been too preoccupied with flashy signs. But we're kind of like that too, aren't we? More is better. Look what he can do. We want to do that. We're conditioned to just want more, instead of to realize that maybe we need to adjust what we're doing or adjust our thinking. Give me a bigger hammer. Turn up the volume. Throw some more money at the problem. Do we need to pass more laws, or do we just need to enforce the laws we already have? More is not necessarily better. And isn't faith a gift? Do we tell somebody who gives us a gift that they need to give us a better gift? A bigger gift? More gifts? Jesus' example about a slave and his master is interesting, though. And we might have to do a little bit of thinking to see how that relates. Keep in mind that we're not talking about an egalitarian society here. Slaves were very common, and we cannot assume that they were always treated poorly either, because they weren't. Sometimes they were like part of the family. People could choose to be slaves for a period of time in order to pay off a debt, because they had more time than money, quite frankly. Still, the roles of slaves and masters are clear in this situation. They're not blurry. So a slave comes in from doing his daytime work, Jesus says. He's also required to fix his master's meal and to clean the house before he is free to have his own time under normal circumstances. Should the master reward him ahead of time and ask him to join in eating with him just because he's done what he was supposed to do, has done part of his job? Do you or I expect random bonuses or thank you cards all the time just because we do what we're supposed to do? No. Jesus was reminding his disciples that they are not entitled to any flashy gifts. They haven't even done their jobs yet. And when they do what they're supposed to do, then they shouldn't expect any flashy gifts either. Just because we are faithful and obedient disciples, and very few of us are even close to that, that doesn't mean that God is somehow obligated to praise us for doing what we were supposed to do in the first place. God does not owe us a thing. We don't need more faith. We need to be more faithful in humbly serving him, using the faith that we already have, no matter how much or how little that is. And we should not expect any special recognition or honor or pats on the back or praise for simply doing our job. We do not obey, serve, and follow Christ in order to receive some kind of reward. Faith is not a quid pro quo situation. We do what God calls us to do in Jesus' name simply because he calls us to do it. And he gives us plenty of faith to accomplish that. If we find that it's hard, then maybe we should be applying our mustard seed worth of faith to self-examination and to changing the kind of people that we are. What was that thing about specks and logs in people's eyes? Some of us struggle with doubt. I know that. Jesus knows that. I don't think we need to worry about doubt, though. Doubt is not our enemy. I would say apathy is our enemy. I believe that doubt is actually an indicator of the presence of faith, but of faith that is not yet engaged in action. Faith that's idling and neutral, you might say. The only real difference between faith and doubt, I would argue, is one's willingness to act in obedience. You don't need to be certain about something in order to obey. A corporal doesn't need to understand the logic behind the colonel's command, but he does need to obey that command, and his obedience is an act of faith, because faith is based on relationship. and relationship thrives on trust. It's better to embrace a risk of being wrong and to act in faith than it is to sit idly by and allow the wrongs of the world to continue because we're paralyzed by doubt and we want to be certain. Faith is not measured out to us like a hand of cards or a wad of $20 bills that we can use to spend on things we think make us look like good Christians. It's not given to us based on how hard the task we think we face looks. It's not something we have too little of or too much of, or that we can get more of. Faith is simply the confidence we develop as a result of being in relationship with a trustworthy God, so that as God asks us to do things that stretch our faith, we are inclined simply to do them because we love Him, not because we think we'll get something out of the deal. Exercising faith will not guarantee us a pat on the back from a grateful God. It will not change the details of life that the world will throw at us, but it will change us. Faith is not an idea, a concept, a philosophy, or some abstract way of viewing life. It is concrete and practical. Faith helps us through every day. Faith gets us out of bed in the morning when we really don't see the point. It is faith that helps us to respond to the pain and injustice of this world in other people's lives with a healing touch, with compassion, with food, with warmth, a place to spend the night, and a kind word. It is also faith that keeps us silent and waiting for God when nothing makes sense anymore and we feel lost and victimized. Faith does not help us to understand. It helps us to do. No matter how much faith we do or do not have, we can be faithful. A few years ago, McDonald's began offering large sizes of their sides and drinks, and you could request that extra amount by saying, "Supersize me." I think what Jesus is trying to impress on us and on his disciples here in today's lesson is that there's no need for us to be supersized. When it comes to faith, God does not supersize us in order to make us adequate to perform a task. A small fry and a Diet Coke are more than enough to allow you to cast the stupid customer in front of you into the sea if you need to, or something like that. Faith is far more than we think we can believe. Faith is what you are immersed in when you enter the church on Sunday morning, and you think that you can't believe anything because your life is so incredibly screwed up and everything hurts, and everybody you thought was your friend has become your betrayer. And when you stand to say the creed, you feel like you can't in good conscience utter a single word of it. But everybody else around you says it for you. You are buoyed up by the faith of the community. Faith is a trust that requires relationship. Poor relationship can erode faith, that's true. Then it's time to find another relationship or a group of relationships, I guess. We don't need more faith. We need to be faithful among the faithful, and faith will be produced. Characters will be built. People will become more balanced and well-rounded. And we will begin to see in each other things that we never thought possible. When we begin to live in community, knowing that faith is just walking with God and trusting, then we are changed. And we are empowered to go out and to do the work that God has given us to do. And sometimes to stay in and do the work that God has given us to do. Either way, it is to love and to serve Him as faithful witnesses. And full doesn't mean amount. It just means you got some. Living out our faith together will grow our faith together. And we will feel faith becoming more and more tangible because the God that we trust shows us through more and more of our fellow Christians, our fellow followers, that it's okay to obey. We don't need more faith. We just need to know that faith is present and at work. Period. And if we're wondering about it, then we can be sure that it is.